Okay, that first part, I should have stopped there. That's the Wailing Wall. Okay, the Wailing Wall is, in the mind of the Jews, is the closest they can get to where they think the Jewish temple is supposed to be. So they have men on one side praying, women on the other side, and they stand toward the wall, and they put little prayer requests in the bricks of the wall, and the men got to wear a beanie. If you don't have a beanie, they give you a beanie. So it's on one side, and then inside there is down the wall is a tunnel where you go back in there. And so this thing's not on. Hey, Jerry, you got this on? Needs up. This one needs up. I don't hear anything.
Testing, one, two.
I don't hear that. I got a green light. Numero uno? It's not on. So, plan B. Try numero seven. Seven, seven. Got it on? Number seven? Seven? Okay, we on? Still can't hear, can you? Everything turned on up there? Well, we're not getting anything. Who wants to go help them? Who can go help them? Anybody? Ed? Okay, so the Wailing Wall, it looks like it's part of an old Roman fort. But that's where the Jews believe that's where the temple is supposed to be. On top of the Wailing Wall is the Dome of the Rock. That's controlled by the Muslims. Okay, and if in order to go up there, you have to go through security check. And if people aren't dressed appropriately, they give the ladies a skirt. If the guys get shorts on, they make him wear a skirt. And so this is where they believe that Abraham sacrificed Isaac. Okay, and so that's the Dome of the Rock. Behind the Dome of the Rock, or as you walk past it on the other side, appears to be the place where the Jews will rebuild the Jewish temple in the tribulation. So they have the Dome of the Rock, Muslim, the Jewish tabernacle slapped up there, right beside each other, and then downtown, or not downtown, a little bit further away is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. It's a Catholic church that claims that's where Jesus was buried. It doesn't meet the criteria, but people fall for it. Okay, and so they have a big marble slab. People go in there and slobber all over it, kiss it, you know, all this stuff. And that's within the city limits. So it's obviously not the right place. There's no garden there. There's nothing like that. So, but that's where people go. So those are your three major religions along with the Kabbalah that have an interest in Jerusalem. Did you get it figured out, Ed? Nothing? Okay, so that's where we're at on the Dome of the Rock. That's Hank. Okay, this is a Catholic church that is right beside a place called Bethesda. Bethesda is in John chapter 5. And that's where, in John 5, you have Jesus healing somebody there. Okay, and as usual, the Catholics will buy a little building and then put a priest there and make it look like that this was, you know, their idea. And this is supposedly where Mary was born. Her parents were raised. So that's a big deal to them. And so this is a church that we sat in there and sang. The acoustics are just amazing. And so I don't know if you could hear this singing. Thank you.
hearing some action now. Okay. A little down now. Down, down, down. Down, up. Up, down. There you go. That's Jay Ross. Remember Jay used to attend here years ago? That's a nice food they had in the hotels for us soft Americans. Tree with thorns on there. It could be the thorns that were used. Okay, the Garden of Gethsemane and the Mount of Olives is east of Jerusalem, so you're looking over a valley. In the valley is a cemetery that looks like mausoleums. They can't put them in the ground. Everything's on top of the ground. The Jews, 150,000 Jews are buried there. They think that when Jesus comes back, or their Messiah, when their Messiah comes back, that they're going to start the judgment right there, and I think they're right on that, but they want to get first in line, so they want to get buried there. Okay, and so at the Garden of Gethsemane, this is an olive tree, about 2,000-year-old tree. Okay, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then Jesus just walks down, no more than a 10-minute walk. It's much smaller than you think. Remember the old city of Jerusalem? You can walk around it in about an hour and 15 minutes. Very small. You can't walk around Lowell that, like that. So it's very small, compact. Like the Bible says, Jerusalem is compacted together. And so when he came down, and then up here is where Judas betrayed him, and then he marched him right down into the Roman fort, started the proceedings for the crucifixion. So that's on the east side of the city. This will be the pathway from the Garden of Gethsemane to Caiaphas's house. If you didn't hear that, it had a tombstone for Horatio Spafford. He wrote, "It is well with my soul." He wrote that after the death of, I think, four girls in the ocean. And so after that, he and his wife moved to Jerusalem, and then they raised their second family in Jerusalem. And so that's what the tomb or gravesite of Spafford. That's looking at the city from that side. Place of the skull. Okay, it's kind of hard to see this right now. Okay, that describes what's going on. I'll go back, Lynn. Okay, that's the skull face. Okay, it's hard to see at this time because 3 years ago they had a storm. A snowstorm, and water got behind what would have been the nose, and it fell off. And so if you see a picture in the late 1800s, they have a picture of the late 1800s, and you can see, like, there's an eye, here's an eye, and then there was a nose. And so this is where Calvary took place. It's not on a hill. It's eye level in your face. Okay, and if you make a U-turn right now, today, this is owned by Muslims right here. Muslims own this. It's a bus stop. Where we're standing is a garden tomb. It's a tomb where Jesus Christ would have been buried. All the characteristics match that. So what Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had to do, they took the body off the cross there, walked around, and then came into the garden tomb. But when you turn around and look at the city, this is on the north side of the city. And so when you look at the north side of the city from here, it's just a very short walk to the Damascus Gate. And there's a road that comes in front, like through here, a road where people are passing through. And so as the soldiers were marching out of Jerusalem, here comes Simon the Cyrenian. They just grabbed him as he was walking through, minding his own business, and said, "Carry this cross right over there." And so then they marched it right over there. And it was right in your face. So people are walking by, shaking their heads, leaning against a building, watching it. And over top of it was this alien-looking face, skull face, overlooking. It's almost like the devil's peeking through the eyes, getting a big jolly out of this. And that was right in the face of the Roman people and the Jews. And if you do anything to cross us, we will do this to you. And so it wasn't at a distance. A lot of times our song make it on a hill and it's at kind of a distance. It's not. It was right there. And then Mary and the ladies were there. And then John, and then Peter runs back into the city and all that stuff that takes place. And when you see it, you say, wow, this is all right there. It's all very close. Okay, so that's the skull face. It is hard to see today because that nose portion got fell off about 3 years ago. When you see a picture of it, and they have a picture there, you can see it very clearly. That's the bus station. There's a garden tomb. Okay, the garden tomb was kind of constructed late 1800s. Some people didn't buy into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and so they wanted to do some archaeology. And they obviously got their Bible and read it. Well, so it's got to have a tomb. It's got to have a garden. This has a wine press, okay, where they bring the grapes in and they stomp them out. And it's got to be close to Calvary, which is right next to it. It's got to be outside of the city gates. Okay, now what this is, there was a makeshift. They didn't do it. Somebody tried patching that in. So that's really, it should have been rocks or the rock, but as time went on. So somebody makeshift patched it in. You can see right there's the steps. Okay, behind the steps is about a foot wide groove. So there's about a 13-foot stone, like a Flintstone stone, okay, where they pushed it in the groove, and then they took a steel spike about a 3/4 inch or an inch and beat it into the rock, and that was the seal. Now today, you know, I got to be kind of careful about pointing things out because these people get real nervous. Okay, but today, right to the left, up a little high, is where you can find a steel rod, maybe a 3/4 inch like rebar, and it's sheared off like a shear pin. And that's when the Lord had that angel push the thing back. You go inside, and to the right is where there were three places for three people, two adults and a child. Okay, and it wasn't done. And on the left, they would kind of sit there and then think about their loved one. So this was Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. They hadn't had it done yet. Now, in order to get Jesus on the left side, where they placed him, somebody had to quickly carve out of the rock, put Jesus in there, because obviously he was taller than Joseph. And historians often say about 6'5 or 6'6, as they say that Peter probably was, big man, strapping man, carpenter. And that's where I took my tape measure to measure. So 6'5" would have been the smallest, where the height, and then the rock curves up. So if the head here goes to the foot there, it would have been 6'5", and then this rock curved up this way. Okay, so that meets all the criteria. Where on this side, you can see where it's etched out, where the feet would have been placed. So that meets all the criteria for the garden tomb. This is a freebie. You just go in and spend time there. Ron Wyatt was a fella, traveled to Israel in 1997, and he pointed out some things that the others aren't going to point out because they're kind of nervous about him being around. And he discovered where the holes in the stone was put for the signs, the huge billboard signs, three signs in three languages. This is the King of the Jews. And then there's a little sign put on top of the cross itself. And so these signs were very large because when people are walking by, they can just take a glance. Oh, okay, that's the criminal, that's the accusation. And then they keep going to their place of where they're heading. So again, this is all right in people's face. This Romans did, and it was a brutal way to die. The diagram of the tomb, the wine press in the tomb because it was a garden. Entrance into the tomb, full of Siloam. I didn't go there. Jen, you're going to have to. You tell me when to stop on this one. Stop. They can't really hear you. Let's. Why don't you come up here now? Yeah, I know you don't like that.
All right. The pool was. You can see the steps going down. Those were the steps, but then where the pool would have been is on someone else's property, so they're not allowed to excavate there anymore. So that's why they couldn't do the whole thing. And then this was just a tunnel that we went through, Hezekiah's tunnel that went underneath the city, and you would come up. The water was like up to there most of the time. You had to have a flashlight personally because the people in front of you, it was that dark. It was so dark under there with the water. And so it was noisy with the water and then dark. So, but it was quite, if you were claustrophobic, they said, you cannot go in there because it got pretty low. You had to go down, you know, go down and it got really thin or narrow, a lot of the places too. But That was their waterway.
Yeah, they have in Jerusalem, they have a lot of underground water tunnels, I guess you can call them, and that's how they supplied water. Okay, and they needed running water for the temple to wash away all that blood sacrifice. So if a person kind of does know that, it does make where the Temple Mount's at kind of questionable for the Jewish temple, but you're not going to convince them of that right now. The temple was in the city of David where there was a water supply. But, again, you're not going to convince them of that. A very few Jews do know that. But still, you know, who knows how it's going to play out. She don't like doing this. That's the grave on the east side of the city. That's what I'm talking about. Everything's above ground. It's all rocks.
Like we come and could put flowers on top of graves, they would put layers on top of their graves.
Petra
was our favorite place to go. I think it was Hang's favorite place as well. These kids were hilarious. This is in Jordan. So you think Muslim, what are we doing in here? But they were so friendly. These people are friends with the Jews. So you're safe as could be in there. These little kids were trying to sell bracelets, those cards, anything. And they were really cute at first. But then they never let you go. So you finally had to say, no, get out of here, I already bought five of those already, you know. But that little kid said, you know, there are 10 in there. There were actually one in there. So he was on them for five, but inside there, they were actually for $1. So they're learning how to get it, you know. But then they had Jordanians there that then they gave you camel rides, donkey rides. But it was really an amazing place because you think of, when you see Petra, you think of this is called the treasury, and you think that's all there is to it, but it is a huge place. It's like a rock city that you go way back in. We spent one whole day there, and you could have spent more there because it's so much. They have, as it keeps going, they have like a palace. They have just all kinds of different buildings made out of the rock, carved out of the rock. And we're not allowed to go into this anymore because I guess it was kind of wearing away. But they would store grain or gold or whatever they wanted to store there. But it was really, really amazing. It was hot. You had to have something on your head and on your neck or else you would have just been scorched because there's no place to go there. I mean, it's all rock. So it looks like there's not a bunch of trees there or anything like that. So you had to be very well covered for that.
So if you can imagine, this is a rock face, and then somebody by hand did all that carving. And doctrinally, in the Bible, that's where the Jews got to run if they want to try to, for safety during the trip, down to the rock city. That's Petra, that's in Jordan.
And also you'll see, they did their preaching everywhere. I mean, just right there in the middle, there's people everywhere, and we would do our singing, and then they would do that half-hour preaching. They weren't scared to do it. We were allowed to do it. We were allowed to do it everywhere. So this is like a palace on the left-hand side there. Yeah, I'm not sure what it all is, but it was just carved out all over the place. And Mr. Day couldn't walk the whole way. He had some leg problems. So he had a ride, and they were just preaching, just right out in the middle of nowhere. People would stop by. The guide would listen. The guides actually, well, in here we had to switch guides. We couldn't use the Israel guides. We had to get the Jordanian guides. We had to have the Jordanian buses, everything. I had to switch everything over when we got here. This was on the top of 600 and some, 600, 800, that's why I need those guys here, steps, that thing at the top there, that was beautiful. Okay.
Okay, this is Damascus Gate. This is the north gate. coming out of North Jerusalem. That's the gate, most likely, when they marched Jesus Christ out. And as you're coming up these steps, then across across the road is right into Calvary. So it's very close to the city itself, very close. And it's all stone, as you can see. It's not concrete, that's stone. That's sidewalks, but that's all stone. That's as you're walking through the city, Old Jerusalem. That's the Red Sea. So that would have been down by Jordan on your way to Jordan. That's not the Dead Sea, is it? That's a nice piece of fish.
All right, this was a pretty amazing place. This was the tabernacle, and it was just like in the wilderness. It wasn't in Shiloh or anything. It was just kind of in the wilderness place. It is very small. I was really surprised how small it is. And our guide, most of the time, we had Jewish guides, so we're back in Israel again, of course. Our guides, being Jewish, were not saved. We went to the Temple Institute, and they had all this stuff. I don't have any pictures from there. But they had all this stuff made for the rebuilding of the third temple. So you would think, you know, they have all this stuff made. And so you would think, you know, they're waiting for the Messiah to come. They're waiting for the third temple to be rebuilt. But that they're not waiting for it for the same reason that we're waiting for it. Because they asked one of the ladies that was teaching us. And she said, you know, I'm Jewish. I know what you guys believe about Jesus, but we don't believe that about Jesus. So that was pretty much the whole attitude of the Jewish people over there. They don't believe Jesus as the Messiah, which was very sad because they've done all this work, and it's not even for the right thing. They're not even saved. But when we went here, this was a Messianic Jew, which she did believe Jesus as her Savior, so it was really refreshing. I have a lot of videos that she talked about if anyone wants to hear them. J. Ross did say that a lot of the Messianic Jews still keep all the feasts and all the, you know, the holidays and stuff. So he's not really sure still of their salvation because they keep that still as part of their working their way to heaven. So I don't know. But this one definitely believed in Jesus Christ as her Savior. So it was really nice how she put everything together as we went through this tabernacle. So this is in the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. Okay, you can keep going if you want, honey. So the table showbread, and they said when they would put that out, they would change that bread every week, and it was still just as fresh as when they put it out, because somehow God kept it fresh like that. Has to be the Lord. The high priest, what they wore. I think that's inside. That's the, Ten Commandments. Okay, that was what it looked like from the outside. That's it. That's pretty much it. That's the tabernacle. Okay. And this is Masada. The story where the mass suicide, right? So this is where that happened there. This is the Dead Sea. Yeah, he'll tell the Masada story.
Okay, Masada is a well-known Jewish site, historical site. It's on a ridge of a mountaintop. And the Romans could not figure out how to get up there to get those 900 and some Jews to submit to them. And so they had this compound built up there where they had all the water, all the food, they had everything they needed, but the Romans couldn't get to them. Well, finally, with time, the Romans figured out how to get to them. And when the Jews saw that they were goners, 900 of them committed suicide. Or the ones that backpedaled, the others helped them. Okay, at the foot of Masada, which is not part of the tour guide, nobody really sees it, but if you stand at the foot of Masada and then travel a little bit over, is where Gomorrah was blown off the map. It's nothing but ashes, like the Bible says. I don't think you guys went into Gomorrah. And there's sulfur in there. And sulfur is what God used as brimstone to destroy Sodom. Southern part of the Dead Sea is Sodom. Gomorrah's by Masada. Admah and Bozrah's on the north part. So there's four places along the Dead Sea, and what created the great salt of the Dead Sea is that's when God salted it. In the Old Testament, to destroy the property, when an army came in, the way they destroyed the property for many years is they salted it. And Mrs. Lot, when it was time for them to get out of town, she didn't get past the perimeter line because the salt south of that area is like every place else in the world, but north of it is where it's the highest concentration of salt known to man. So it's like a perimeter line. And so then this is the Dead Sea. If you don't know how to swim, that's the place to learn.
Okay. With Masada, there was two women that hid and five children. That's how they knew the story about them killing, about the mass suicide. Yeah, it just automatically pulls your legs up. You just sit down and your legs just pop up. And it just holds you there. They said you can't get it in your eyes. If you get it in your mouth, you could actually die because it's that concentrated. So you cannot get it in your mouth at all. Okay, so this is Shiloh. This is where Hannah prayed. And then they actually had stories where other women that were barren would come and pray over there and had children. Something about the power of God in that place. So this is just a lady on the tour group. There was 60 of us. There was two buses, 30 from one church and then another bus with the rest of us that were just from here and there. This was the breastplate. I couldn't understand why it wasn't in the right order with the children of Israel. And then I realized you're supposed to read it this way. So you read it from the opposite direction. I was like, oh, it is in the right order after all. Okay. We missed the bathroom. This is the... we just think that's funny. We'll go back. Okay, right here. These are the public bathrooms. You would use two stones and go down in the middle, and then the water would come through and wash it away. Public. That's how it was. That was Roman. That's Roman. But yeah. So quite interesting, isn't it? So yeah, this is a amphitheater. That's pretty much the horns on the altar there. They're still excavating there. Caesarea Philippi. And they took us to the Beatitudes place at Garden of Soar, a lot of the New Testament places where Jesus walked then and told different things. This is the Sea of Galilee. We went on, I think there's more of that later. I think there's more of that later. This is the Sermon on the Mount. They had the Beatitudes all throughout it. Still Sermon on the Mount. Do they look familiar? So this was the temple. Go ahead. Yeah.
Where Christ cursed Capernaum, Horizon, and Bethsaida. Three places. And so they excavated, but that's what's left. When the Lord curses something, does it? Horizon is worse than this. I mean, it's just not beautiful. But again, they tried to excavate it. Lord laid a curse on it.
Yeah, this is the cave where, where he got down to his 300 people. Okay, more people, more. Oh, here it is. Yeah. So they're demonstrating the right way and the wrong way. Okay, here's the Sea of Galilee. So we went out on the Sea of Galilee on a wooden boat, on a boat ride, and Jay Ross then gave his testimony out there. He is Jewish, and he said, don't really spread this. If you have taped this at all, don't spread it, because he's in there as a missionary, but it's not supposed to be known as a missionary. So it was very moving testimony that he gave to us out there. I have it if you want to hear it. Had to bring a little bit of our acting in here. So you guys act like you're doing it on stage here, since you're... Oh. Yeah, this is the Mediterranean. It's been too long ago, so I need my notes. Then we went to the village of Nazareth, where they really think it was like those trees there and everything when Jesus was there. This is the only place that people really played the parts of the characters. That was the Mediterranean Sea. Okay, so yeah, so this is where they had the chariot races. They would race all around there, right by the sea. It was very beautiful place. And this, we were on the bus a lot, going from place to place. And then Kathy Ross fed all 60 of us the last night before we went to the airport. So we went there, had church service, and then went to the airport, even though our flight didn't leave out till the morning. So we pretty much spent the night there, because some of the flights went out earlier.
Okay, anybody have any questions?
I don't know. There's a few Jews that kind of know that idea. It's relatively been new in the last 5 years, where somebody's kind of figuring that out. I asked one of the guides, what's the name of the well? It's Bethlehem. I forget now the name of the well, but I pronounced it to him. He said, I never heard that. Four 400 feet. It's not far.
The city of Bethlehem, a little town of Bethlehem, is 10 acres, 12 acres. And it's prophesied in the Old Testament that that's where the temple was, and then it says that it's going to be plowed. Well, the Temple Mount can't be plowed. Bethlehem is being plowed. They have farm plots there. So how many Jews know that? I don't know. Does it matter? I don't know. But they're still banking on the Temple Mount. Gihon Springs, that's what I was thinking, Gihon. So I pronounced that to the Jewish guide. He said, I never heard of that. And I said, I know I'm not pronouncing it right. I know I'm not. And then he said to somebody else, and they said, oh, Gihon. I said, oh, that's probably it. That's probably it. And so it is a spring that they, obviously, like when Solomon did the sacrifice, when you're sacrificing hundreds of animals, you got to have some way to wash that away, and the Gihon Springs is in Bethlehem. So that would be like the threshing floor of Ornan. That seems to be the proper location, but are they going to go there? Who knows? And it doesn't matter. I doubt it. But it's a lot of underground springs, a lot of caves. Like here in our culture, we put a building up. We dig down in the dirt, put a foundation, build a building. There, it's all rocks. And so they just level it out and build on top. And that's why they can excavate there, is they just keep digging down. Oh, I found this, I found that, I found this. And so that's the thing. And so they're still excavating Gihon Springs, and they're excavating all these different places. But then they got to fight with the Muslims. Who gets it? Whose property is it? No, we're not going to sell you that bus station. So that's the constant struggles they have. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Garden Tomb from... Yes. Yeah, in fact, it's right beside it. Where we were standing looking at Golgotha's, we're in the Garden Tomb. Not the tomb sepulcher itself, you'd have to look around a rock, but the garden of the tomb, yes. And when you're in the Church of the Holy Sepulcher, which, okay, in the Garden Tomb, I went there, I think, three times. When I was there, because I was able to leave the motel and walk to it. It's like a 15-minute walk from where we were at. And probably the most I saw in there was probably 75 people. And then I went over to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and there was probably 2,000. And they're just all in line to see this, and they're waiting to kiss the slobber on this marble thing, and I bent down and pretended to slobber, and then I left a fake $20 bill track, and then stashed a couple around in other places. So, and then walking through the city, you can't see any, up around it because these buildings, all stone buildings and everything. So it's really neat. And when you walk by yourself, you kind of observe things. It's funny, I was walking behind this one guy, I don't know who he was, just a guy, tour guy, and he had a mustache that was that wide. He had a hairspray where that thing came out and curved around, and as he's walking, I'm behind him, and people are just laughing, and they said, could we get a picture? So they're taking a picture of this guy, I took a picture of the dude, and I'm looking at this, is that a fake mustache or is that real? I can't imagine how long it took him to grow that thing, because it was, I took a picture of it. It was just a monstrous thing. And so it had to be fake, but it sure looked funny. But then they're selling stuff all through, and somebody's trying to get you to come in and buy something. They give you a deal, and they're always dickering with you. That's where June them down talk came from. And so it's quite an experience. Yes, ma'am? That was in a Catholic church. It's a stone building, stone, everything stone, and it's right by Bethesda. Supposedly where Mary's mom and dad lived and where she was born, so that's obviously a big deal to them. And John 5 is the story in the Bible. That was my first time I had to speak. Okay, and then the second time was on Herod's thing, and I was done after that. Actually, I had 9 more to go, but we were done. So the Lord had different plans. Different plans. So anybody else? Yes, sir? No. No, it's rusted. When in 1997 we were there, Ron Wise said, I'm gonna lean against the wall and put my finger up where it's located. But he said the people here was going to be very nervous. Now, see, this Ron Wyatt was the guy that we had. You remember him. He did excavating. He found in the garden tomb where he did the excavating, he found the big 13-foot stone. He found places where, like, Stephen or somebody was stoned, found the bones and the rocks. And this was one thing that he had pictures of, but the Lord, I don't think, let him have show the pictures where he found the Ark of the Covenant, Table of Showbread. And it looks like Jeremiah hid all that in the cave system during the 18-month siege before Babylon came in. And it's interesting, right around the corner is Jeremiah's grotto where he wrote the Book of Lamentations. So his dad was a priest, so he had the access to it. And he didn't want the Babylonians. And when the Babylonians come in, there's nothing said about the Ark of the Covenant, Table of Showbread, and all that stuff. And that's where Wyatt took blood samples off the furniture and had it tested. And one sample said it's animal blood, and another sample said it's human blood, but it's very strange. It's only got 24 chromosomes. And then they said that blood's alive. So he brought that to America and had it tested. So one time he went back, and the Israeli authorities told him, we sent 3 or 4 soldiers down to move the ark because we kind of wanted to move it. And he said, we haven't heard from them. So he went and checked on them, and they were dead. And they gave him pushed gurneys into them, and he put their bodies in a gurney, and they pulled them out. They think that Ron Wyatt could see the ark because he's a goyim. He's a Gentile. We don't have souls. So that's what they believe. Okay, they did one time in the early 1990s mention a hinted at the idea of the Ark of the Covenant, and it had a massive riot. So the Israeli government that knows about this don't want to mention it. They don't know what to do with it. Till the Antichrist shows up, and then he'll know what to do with it. Anybody else? Dad, did you have... Yes. Yeah, it is really, I mean, just to take a trip and just no tour guides, just walk to the Garden of Gethsemane, walk down to Mount of Olives, Garden of Gethsemane, walk over to the city, come out the Damascus Gate, go to the Garden Tomb, that's worth the flight. Oh, yeah. Do you remember there was a little window on the sepulcher? Jewish customs is that when a person dies, their spirit hangs around for 3 days. And on the third day, it flies out the window. How many days did Jesus allow Lazarus to be dead? He wanted to cover the Jewish customs, too. He's dead and gone. 4 days, the spirit's gone. Watch this. So, yeah, that's why that little vent or window was on the garden tomb. Jewish custom. Yeah, that's interesting. We didn't learn that the first time I was there. We learned that with our guide in the garden tomb. He just did it for Dad, and I'm kicking myself. I didn't record the first time because he gave information he didn't give any other time. We told him I was a preacher, and he said, okay, then I'll give you the full works. He's an Aussie. He was an Australian preacher that came there voluntarily, and he gives these tours. And boy, did he said some amazing stuff about crucifixions, what happened, what takes place, and then all those things. I begged him to do it again for me, and I recorded it, but he didn't have time. So, Yeah, when Mom was in the hospital, I took Dad down there, and we kind of got befriended by a Jewish guy or a taxi guy. Did we ever get his race? I don't think he was Jew. I think he was Arab. And so he would kind of take us around. And then his real colors came out at the end. Where so you see this guy, he sell you things. Oh, okay, I see where we're going with this thing. And so fortunately that was the last time I had to deal with him. But anything else? Hope that was a blessing to you, huh? I didn't feel it. Did you feel any time? When in 97, when we were in Bethlehem, Bethlehem was making a transition to Muslim territory, and now it's full Muslim territory. There you could just sense it. If I get in the middle of some nut, I'm in the middle of a shootout. And if you look at the buildings, which I don't think you noticed though when they pointed it out, that some of the buildings they're stone buildings, but you'll see where they had a gunfight there. The buildings have bullet marks and everything. And the Israelis have soldiers walking everywhere, usually in a pair, sometimes four of them, and they always got their weapon on their shoulder. So you know they're there, okay? And the Palestinians do have their attitude. The one lady was in the hospital bed in the same room as Mom. The fella, her husband was a Palestinian, and Dad got lectured about the Palestinians. They have a right to be here, you know, all that stuff. So it depends where you're at, but you just don't, it's not like here you walk around and say, hi, how you doing? You just don't look at people. Because if you think, you know, whip out something, and it's not American culture at all. So it depends where you're at. The Temple Mount is a place where anytime something can happen. The Jordanian people don't like the Muslim terrorists. They're friends with the Jews, and they want to keep it that way. So, you know, when I thought, going to Jordan, man, but it's a whole different perspective. Why? They're Sunnis, I think, is one reason. There's Sunnis and Shiites, and they're Sunnis. So, yeah. Okay, anything else? Okay, I hope that was a blessing to you. And so let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for the opportunity to take the trip. And I pray that this is a blessing to these folks, that it's just amazing how small Jerusalem really is, the Jerusalem that you walk through, and everything's all tight-knit, and how Rome just put everything right in your face. And I pray you help us to appreciate what your great sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.